Welcome to the Sunday night There is a Solution newcomer and returning members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. This meeting is being recorded, so you may visit our website at oaontario.org, where you'll find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Our speaker today is a compulsive overeater, a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions in the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. Welcome, Mackenzie E., a compulsive overeater from British Columbia.
Hello, I'm Mackenzie. I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Victoria, British Columbia. And very grateful to be asked to share here about just my experience of finding recovery through the Big Book, because I tried to find it elsewhere and failed. And I feel very fortunate to be here. So thank you. And I don't think that any newcomers put their hands up, but if there are any newcomers or returning members, welcome. And I hope that something that I say maybe sticks, or if it doesn't, that you keep coming back, because there's so many different stories that are in these rooms. And so I guess a little bit about my abstinent time. So I came into OA for the first time a few years ago, but have continued abstinence from last February. And so I'm just going to talk about what it's like, what happened, and then what it's like now, thanks to the steps in the Big Book. So I like to go back to my first memory of food, because I was only like, I must have been 3 years old. I was too old to be in a crib. I know that, but I was not in kindergarten. So I feel like that's like 3 or 4 years old. And I would cry myself to sleep, or I would cry myself as I was going to bed, because I was so scared that I was going to starve to death in the middle of the night. And so my parents would bring me a plate of soup crackers and put it next to my bed. And I don't think that I ate it every night. But it's like this first memory of food that, that really like brought me comfort. Knowing that food was next to me, like, calmed me down enough that I could go to sleep. And this memory to me is like a reminder that my thoughts around food are pretty dang twisted. And the I guess like the things that I tell myself as it relates to food are abnormal. And so, yeah, food continued to comfort me for many years to come. I remember being a preteen or teenager, and by this time, shame about who I was, or this, I guess, this narrative that I was not good enough, a narrative that I believed and that was kind of told to me, came into my life. And I went from, I think, using food as this like subconscious solution to like longing for food to fix my problems. Growing up in school, I didn't have friends. And to be totally truthful, I didn't really want friends. I was so excited when school finished at the end of the day to like run home. And I was a latchkey kid, so my parents weren't home. I'd run home from school and I just like couldn't get home quick enough to turn off the world and just like get lost in like a plate of food before my parents came home. I got a job at an early age at this restaurant, which was great because I'd spend all my money there. And then I would steal food and bring that home and get lost in that. And I was always just trying to, I think, like prove myself to others. And so when I had time alone that I could eat, I felt just like so relaxed. During this time as well, I had a neighbor that I would babysit for, and I remember like being very, I think this is where the sneakiness of my eating kind of came out for the first time. I remember being scared that they would catch me and how much food I was taking from them. So I would cut things a certain way, or I would remember how much was left of something and try and like make it look the same. I remember when Halloween came around, it was so exciting because these kids had all their goodies. And I also remember slicing open the packages so carefully so I could take things out and like puff it back up and put it back in their like collection of candy, and in hopes that, I thought I was really pulling a fast one over on people. And like looking back on it now, I feel like it was very obvious what like that the candy wasn't just missing out of all the packages. But I really thought that I was smart and they were never going to catch on. And I remember leaving every week feeling so shameful and so scared of going back the next week. So worried that they were going to say something. And I would promise myself every single time that I was not going to eat there, or that if I was going to eat there, I was not going to like eat so much that I felt terrible when I left. And I could never, ever control myself enough. And so this like way of eating really never left me. When I became, I would say, like a young adult, I got introduced to other substances. And during this time, my relationship with food was still pretty awful. But I feel like there was other things that, food kind of got put on a back burner until I got sober 5 years ago. And food reared its ugly head so much more intensely. I don't really know the first time I got into OA, so like I said, 3 years ago, I don't think that there was a major moment of like desperation or wanting to find like a solution, to be honest. I had a friend who was in the program, and I wanted to eat normal, but I didn't really want to do the hard stuff. So I joined OA kind of with one foot in and one foot out. I joined OA because I wanted to stop eating a specific type of food. When I joined OA this time, I didn't have a food plan. I didn't know that food plans existed. I thought that I just needed to focus on not eating this one specific food. And I did a good job at that, but little did I know, I was like white knuckling it, and I didn't have a program. Also, I didn't know how to eat, so without a food plan, I was just kind of still winging it. And after I reached 30 days of not eating this one type of food, and let me tell you, I was still compulsive eating the whole time. I didn't know that compulsively eating was an issue, but I thought that I would celebrate my 30 days of not eating this ingredient. By going to the store and getting this thing. And I mentioned before the meeting, it's so interesting because I hear the same story in another program that I'm part of, and I never understood people's thinking with it. And then I did just that in OA. But I really thought that I could do it differently. And I convinced myself that I could control how much of this ingredient I ate. And so I went to this store and I bought this thing and I ate it. And I didn't eat any more of it that night. Well, I only bought one. And so to me in my head,
Mackenzie, it's a 10-minute warning that
oh,
you've been
perfect.
talking for 10.
Okay, thank you. So yeah, in my head, I thought like, okay, well, that's a good sign. So I'm gonna not eat this tomorrow, and then I'm gonna go get it again the next day. Because that seems like a pretty normal way of eating. And I did that. And then it was, I'm not going to wait a day in between. I'm just going to go the next day. And literally in 1 week, I was stopping at this store on my way home from work and I was getting multiple items. And I was eating all of them but two, and then coming home and telling my partner that I had gotten us each these things. And, it was like a really quick fall, and I guess I'm grateful for it in the sense that like it really showed me that this lie I tell myself about, well, one, I can do it differently, but two, I can restart tomorrow is not true because it took me a full year to get back into the rooms of OA. Just under a year. And it took me a full year to get abstinent again. And I tried to do it on my own again before coming to OA, and I just was having no luck. So I got into OA the second time around. I think it was like December of 2023. And I just felt so degraded. I felt so humiliated. I felt so not humiliated that I was coming back, but just like how every morning I would promise myself I was not going to eat, overeat, and eat compulsively, and how every late morning, I would have already broken that promise to myself. Another big catalyst of coming back to OA was like, I realized how emotionally stunted my intelligence was. I could not have conversations about my feelings to anyone. I couldn't feel my feelings. I didn't know how to articulate what I was feeling. And it was becoming a really big problem for like me and friendships and in my relationship. And I knew that so many people in OA had like figured it out thanks to OA. So I came back, yeah, in the December. And this was the first time that I like heard, I'm sure I heard it a million times, but this is the first time that I heard it this way, that this ingredient is not my problem. Obviously, it's a spiritual issue, but it's also this like idea of compulsively eating. And that can be compulsively overeating, or for me, compulsively undereating, which leads to overeating eventually. And so my idea of what I needed to do this time around really changed from that first time coming into OA. I got a food plan because I had no idea how to eat. I got really connected with some amazing groups of OA. I had an in-person home group that I still go to. And I got connected with a really awesome online group on Saturday mornings and started listening to so many, recorded meetings online and really hearing the solution from the big book. That I was completely missing the first time around, which is odd because I have heard it for another program, but it just didn't click for me. This time I also got a sponsor, and I started working the steps right away. And it was such a different experience than one the first time around, but two, also working the steps in other programs because I realized that up until now, like, even though I really like this idea that my time doesn't transfer over to other programs, especially in OA, because this whole time I had food as my higher power still. I had worked steps before, but I wasn't turning over my will to higher power. I was turning over my will to food. And so when I heard this time around that this is a spiritual program, I didn't need a spiritual program before, but without the food, I really, really did. And a couple things that stood out to me this time around too, that helped me get that was, there's a gentleman in the rooms who talk about, I forget the word he uses. I really wish I could remember it, but this like 7 seconds of like bliss when I bite into a piece of food. And I can get that same relief in that same sense of comfort, as I got in that first bite of food for 7 seconds, when I turn over my problem to God, or when I stop fighting and ask God for his will to be done and not mine. And that like relief lasts so much longer than the 7 seconds that food brought for me. There was like probably partway through the year in OA, I was kind of in a slump. Like I was feeling pretty like depressed. And in these moments, what I know to do is like double down on recovery. And up until then, I had been attending this online meeting on Saturday mornings religiously, but I was attending it with my camera off and I was not getting involved. I was not sharing. And to be honest, a lot of times I was playing Wordle, or, distracted, because my camera was off. And I made this decision to like come all the way in and sit all the way down. And I had heard people in the meeting before talk about this and turning the camera on. And it always bothered me. I felt like I was being called out. But I just got to this place where I really needed to do something different to feel connected and just to feel a little more like part of. And from that moment on, I feel like my recovery even changed again. I started feeling connected to people that didn't even live in my city. I started wanting to reach out and talk to people on the phone. People started calling me and connecting with me. And there's just all these like really wonderful things that happened when there was a face to my little Zoom screen. And what's interesting is all of this stuff happened, and I never thought about it until recently. All of this stuff happened around the time that I was doing my ninth step. And so I think some of it came from getting connected in these groups, and in these meetings, but I think it's also like those ninth step promises that started coming true. And so I know like the solution is in the big book. It's the 12 steps. I've already mentioned that doing the 12 steps this time around was such a different experience than in the past because I was really forced to rely on a higher power and see things that I didn't see before with the fogginess of food. But today, now, like I've completed the 12 steps, but in the past, once I completed the 12 steps, I would really not look at them ever again. And I really wouldn't do any maintenance work, which is also probably why I was relying on food. But today, I think like what's really important for me is to remember step one every day. That I'm powerless over my alcoholic foods, and that when I eat my alcoholic foods, my life becomes unmanageable in so many different ways, financially, in relationships. I'm not present with people. I want to just stay at home and shut myself out. And so I remind myself of step one by doing a few things. One, coming to meetings and hearing the message from other people, people who are just coming into the rooms and experiencing that. I think that eating based on my food plan is a reminder that I don't have control over my alcoholic foods and that I need to stick to my food plan. And then the next step three is obviously a very important one for me as well. Making a decision to turn my life over to the care of God and not food, however I understand him. And so, yeah, every morning, was that another 10 minutes? Okay. Thanks. Every morning, yeah, saying the third step prayer, asking to relieve me of the bondage of self, which is my stinking thinking and the twisted thoughts that can pull me back to food. And then steps 10, 11, and 12. So step 10, I did step 10 once when I completed my steps in the past, and that's about it. Sometimes I would like stew on my day before I went to bed, but I had never conducted a personal inventory every night. And I think that this is one of the most powerful things that I've gotten to be a part of this last year is this 10 step train. And really just doing a 10 step on paper every night. And being linked up to another fellow in recovery and sharing that with them and hearing their 10th step and then giving feedback to make sure that I am not being a victim of my own thinking, to make sure that I am clearing what needs to be cleared out of the way to start my day off better the next day, to make amends when are needed. And to ultimately just keep me out of the food. And then steps 11 and 12, prayer and meditation. I hated prayer and meditation before because I really didn't want to live in God's will. And today I feel like prayer and meditation come so much, I mean, it's an ebb and flow. Some days are like, some weeks are harder than others, but I'm open to hearing what God's will is because I've showed myself that my will usually doesn't get me that far, and God's will, whether I see it or not in the moment, usually plays out far beyond my expectations. And then having a spiritual awakening and working with others, carrying the message to others, this looks like so many different things for me today. I always thought that this had to just be sponsoring, but it's so much more than just sponsoring. Sharing at meetings, turning my camera on, showing up to meetings in person as well, being vulnerable and sharing honestly to other people when they call me, sharing honestly about my food and where I'm at, sharing, showing up to fellowship things, and just keeping my camera on and my butt down in the seats. And the last thing I just want to also mention is, yeah, this last, like, I guess what it's like now, that I guess that kind of was what it's like now, but yeah, a few, I guess just like things that have happened over this last year that I've been able to kind of walk through or show up differently because of the program. Okay, first off, this past year since I've been abstinent, I've had such good relationships with friends, and I've been asked to be the godfather to two different kids this last year, and that's pretty amazing because when I was in the food, I would leave birthday parties, especially kids' birthdays. I would go eat and leave. I would not remember birthdays. I would not remember special events, and like today. I have relationships with my friends that are good enough that they trust me to care for their kids. I have the ability to like pause and see life as it's happening around me and not that it's happening to me. And if I'm not doing step 10 and 11 and 12, that changes very quickly. If you were at a meeting I was at yesterday, you may have already heard this, but on Friday my dog got attacked, and so I spent all day at the emergency vet, and I was there way longer than I thought I was going to be. I was there way longer than they told me I needed to be. And it was frustrating, but in the moment I was able to do 10 steps, like, and instead of being frustrated and resentful towards the vet technicians and the vets and the people that were bringing in their animals that were bumping our priority, I could sit there for 8 hours and be grateful that my dog is lower priority and that people can go in front of me, and just be grateful that, like, my dog's okay. And if I'm in the food, like, I would have been so resentful that I had to change my day around that. Yeah, I just, like, it was kind of a sad a victimhood life that I was in before OA. And then also the other thing that I wanted to share was, this last year was, like, it's great. OA is great. There's also a lot of hardship in the last year. I went through a separation, and I grieved the relationship, and I grieved what I thought my life was going to look like and our life was going to look like. I had to live with my parents for like 5 months. Oh my gosh, it was hard. I injured myself pretty badly, and I couldn't walk for a while, and I couldn't run for so long. I failed this exam. I worked so hard and had so much ego tied up into it, and I just failed it last month. These were, like, really hard things to deal with, but actually there was so much good that came out from all of these things. My ex got accepted into school overseas. So, I mean, that would have, like, it was like God kind of, like, figured it all out beforehand. The relationship would have ended anyways. I'm able to have so much gratitude that my parents were open to me living there, like, for 5 months while I figured my stuff out. Injuring myself, oh my gosh, I'm so glad that I didn't put my security in exercise, instead of my higher power, because I had been there before. And if my security was in exercise and I injured myself and couldn't, my life would have looked very different. And then lastly, this exam that I had so much like ego attached to, I really didn't want this position. I, like, committed to it a year ago when I was new in recovery, and I felt like I had to see it through. And I'm so glad that I failed this exam, because I don't want this position at all. And, like, I feel like God knew that, and my God is a loving and caring God and probably doesn't want me to fail at things, but I think he had my back. And gosh, even to be able to just, like, look at situations and find the silver lining, and, like, it all reassures me that, like, God's plan is good. And it makes turning over hard things to my higher power so much easier. And I'm not really sure how much time left I have, and hopefully it's close to 30, because I don't really have much else to say. But yeah, appreciate
Two more
sharing.
minutes.
Thanks. Okay, well, I mean, how's that? How's 28 minutes? Is that good?
Sure.
Okay, perfect.
That's
And
great. Thank you so much, Mackenzie, for your share. That was great.